John 1, the first chapter of the Gospel of John. And it is printed in your bulletin, so let's read it responsively. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God.
And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of of grace and truth. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, I don't know about you, but I love that passage from John. Though I must admit, it can be so familiar, I sometimes just say the words without thinking about their meaning. And does that ever happen to you? Do you actually think every day about new life given to you in Jesus Christ, and that despite all the darkness that can be around us, Christ is the light of the world? And the light of the world, not the darkness we experience, does have the final word. Well, perhaps as we look forward to a new year, we can be strengthened by these old familiar words. And in the same manner, we're going to sing old familiar hymns, but hopefully, like these verses from John, we will be renewed and encouraged by these well-known old songs, especially as we hear the faith stories behind them. John Mason Neal was ordained in the Church of England around 1842 to run a home for the poor in London. And soon after he was ordained, he co-founded St. Margaret, a nursing order for Anglican sisters, Anglican women. And to top it all off, in his free time after helping the sick and the poor of London, Neal translated ancient Latin and Greek hymns, making them new again for the English church. Many ancient hymns would have been lost if it hadn't been for Dr. Neal. And a good example of this is Of the Father's Love Begotten, which was written around the time of the very earliest creeds of the church. This was written around the 300s. You know, just as before the Apostles' Creed. And when we sing it, I want you to see how it relates to our gospel lesson from John. So thanks to Dr. Neal, this hymn is still sung today in churches around the world.
And for the carols we're singing during the sermon, I'm going to invite you to remain seated.
Thank you.
I love that hymn because there's not much melody, and since I can't carry a melody in a bucket, it works really well for me. Dr. John Neal served the poor, served the sick, plus to this day, no one else has translated as many ancient hymns as he has. So you'd think that during his life, folks honored him, perhaps even revered him for his accomplishments and sacrifice. Nope, just the opposite. People were angry. Crowds threatened to stone him, and he was even attacked at the funeral at one of his nurses from St. Margaret's. And why do you think that is? Well, it's because people feared he was too Catholic, that he was trying to lead the Church of England back to Roman Catholicism. In other words, people were biased and fearful, and they took it out on him. Well, 175 years later, we know that people still react out of fear and bias. So let me ask, what would you do if all that ugliness was taken out on you? Would you succumb to the darkness, or would you continue to be a light in the darkness? Dr. Neal continued serving the church until the day he died. So remembering Dr. Neal's faithful perseverance, let us sing one of his Christmas carols. He had three of them. Let us sing Good Christian Friends, which Neal loosely translated from Latin and German. And of course, we have translated it to update it for the modern church, just like he did. We say Good Christian Friends, and he said Good Christian Men. So now let's cross the Atlantic, going from the Anglican Church to the Episcopalian Church here in America. You know, they have the same roots. Phillips Brooks, a young rector in Philadelphia, wanted to offer something to the children in his parish for Christmas Eve. How could he uniquely share the Christmas message with children? Then he remembered a trip he took to the Holy Land a few years earlier. And on Christmas Eve, Brooks traveled by horseback from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. Granted, he wasn't 9 months pregnant like Mary, but he was a gangly 6 feet 6 inches tall, so the journey wasn't very comfortable for him either. And trotting along, he vividly imagined the Christmas story and was deeply moved by the experience. So what could he share with the kids on Christmas Eve? Hey, kids have imaginations. Maybe he could share with them his experience of the Christmas story. So painting a picture with words, he wrote, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." And let us remember that despite the shiny, alluring gadgets and technology this new year will bring, our greatest gift to others, and probably even to ourselves, may still be our faithful imagination.
Little town of Bethlehem, lost till we see thee.
Well, riding through the Holy Land on horseback is pretty daunting, but not nearly as daunting as the hurdles faced by the students of Fisk University. Just after the Civil War, I think it was really January 1st, 1866, Fisk University opened in Nashville to educate former slaves in the South. The school had no money and obviously no employed alumni from which to fundraise. All it had been given an old Yankee barracks, and that was its school. So the university had a choice. It could raise money, which was hard to do in the war-ravaged South, or it could close. Those were the only options. So let me ask you, what would you do when the odds are stacked so steeply against you? What would you do? Well, here again, someone's faithful imagination made a difference. The school's music professor had an idea. Encouraged by the scripture passages from Leviticus, which talked about God's jubilee, when liberty will be proclaimed and everyone will have their own land, he created a group of student singers, the Fisk Jubilee Singers, with hopes of performing in the North and sending money to the school back in the South. Well, the students were reluctant ambassadors. Remember, all they had known had been slavery. So, and face it, even in the North, audiences expected a minstrel show which mocks people of color, because that's what they knew too. So you can imagine how shocked those Northern audiences were when they heard the Fisk Jubilee Singers belt out the only songs they knew, old slave songs, what we call Negro spirituals. And the Fisk Jubilee Singers, those reluctant ambassadors, are the ones who are credited with saving all our Negro spirituals from obscurity. No one else did that. So they became enormously popular. Even Queen Victoria was so impressed, she commissioned a portrait of them as a gift from England to Fisk. And what I think is interesting is over 150 years later, the present day Fisk Jubilee Singers say, and I quote, "We stand on the shoulders of the original Jubilee Singers, continuing their legacy as we sing Negro spirituals," unquote. You know, folks, as ambassadors of Christ, albeit sometimes reluctant ones, we too stand on the shoulders of our predecessors. As we enter into this new year, think about what legacy you want to continue. Now, one of the songs rescued from oblivion by the Fisk Jubilee Singers is "Go Tell It on the Mountain."
Shepherds kept their watch.
got two more hymns to sing. The first one is an Eastern European Christmas carol based on an old Polish song with Germanic roots. Now, it's one of my favorite Christmas carols, but I didn't learn it as a child, only as an adult. Why do you think that was? Because the 20th century was so devastated by wars with Germany and Eastern Europe that even church music suffered. So as we sing Infant Holy, Infant Lowly, let's think of ways that enmity precludes beauty in our lives, and then consider how we can overcome hatred with compassion in this new year. Our last song isn't a Christmas carol, but it's a hymn with which we're all familiar. Sisters Anna and Susan Warner lived with their uncle near the West Point Military Academy, where he was chaplain and where they taught Sunday school to the cadets. Supposedly, one of the last students to learn from Susan and Anna was Dwight D. Eisenhower before he graduated from West Point. It's all very good that they taught Sunday school and that they made a difference, but the sisters needed an income, so they wrote books. In the novel Sea and Seal, author Susan asked Sister Anna if she would write a children's song a children's song of comfort to be sung by a dying child in the novel. So Anna did, but of course there was no music to it, it was just a novel. 2 years later, a composer was so moved by the song that he put it to music. All they did was teach Sunday school and write some long-forgotten novels, but the United States Military Academy thought these two sisters did so much for the West Point community and thus the nation that Susan and Anna Warner are the only two civilian women buried in the West Point Cemetery. So as we sing Jesus Loves Me, the song they wrote, ponder the ways which God can use our gifts to bless our small community, knowing that our gifts in blessing our community can indeed bless our whole nation. It's a new year, or it will be when we wake up tomorrow. Yet we know that even in the new year, 2018, will hold its share of tragedies and setbacks just like all the years before. But in the future, as in the past, we can trust the Bible when it says, from God's fullness in Christ, we have all, every one of us, received grace upon grace. We have received grace upon grace to sing, to persevere, to serve, to imagine, and to dream. So in this new year, let's continually rely on those ancient words from the Gospel of John. For like our predecessors, we too may be misunderstood, mistreated, we may be challenged, and like our predecessors, we too are called to be faithful. So you have a door prize this morning. It's your bulletin. Yay! Only people who are here this morning get to keep the bulletin. Woo! And the scripture from John is intentionally printed on it, so you can take it home and put it somewhere where you can see it constantly in the new year. So remember these words. Look at these words over and over again. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it in the past and will not overcome the darkness in the future. So worshiping friends, throughout 2018, may God's light shine in each one of you, each one of us, and beyond. Amen.